And he wanted to find some way to make it rain. Probably thought that it would make a pretty buck, too, if he could figure out how to do it. And he developed a theory, a very interesting theory, that if you want to make it rain, all you got to do is heat the clouds. And technology being as it was back in the 19th century, he thought the best way to heat the clouds was to build a bunch of fires on the ground. And the best way to build a fire and get the rain where you need it was to go to those farmlands that were scorched by the heat and build a large bunch of log fires there in the middle of the fields. Needless to say, he was ridiculed by his fellow inventors. And fortunately for him and for us, the plan of building fires on dry fields to make it rain never really caught fire. There was another man who lived later in the 1800s. He developed a new theory. If you want to make it rain, all you got to do is make a lot of noise. Loud noise would provide the rain. His name was Robert Dyrenforth. He lived and developed a theory somewhere in Texas that if you made enough loud noise, it would start to thunder and rain. So he started to accumulate a number of munitions, weapons, enough to wage a small war right there in Texas. I'm not sure, but I don't think it was Waco, in case you're wondering. He gathered as many weapons as he could, and if you could imagine this picture, aimed all of those weapons and munitions toward the skies and started firing, making enough racket to make people think that there was an actual battle happening in the field, to where one observer noted, "Dyrenforth attacked from the front and the rear, by the right and left flank, but the sky remained as clear as the complexion of a Saxon maid." Didn't quite work. If human beings could make it rain, by golly, they will try to figure out how. Humans cannot manipulate the weather. They cannot force it to rain when it doesn't want to rain. And even though we need rain in our lives, the fact still remains, as the prophet Joel says to us in the scriptures today, only God controls the weather. And rain, the blessing of rain, comes from God. That's something that the ancient Israelites believed, because they were living in a time of deep drought, of great famine. Their lands were scorched, their crops were dying, their animals were vanishing, their water supply was diminishing. If any group of people needed rain, it was the group of people that we read about in our scriptures this morning. Because there was no rain, therefore there was no food. And where there was no food, for them there was no hope. The scriptures use drought and rain in an interesting way. In the scriptures, it's used not only to talk about the condition of the land, but also to talk about the condition of the people's souls. For when the Israelites were saying that they were in great drought and in need of rain, they were talking symbolically about the condition of their souls. The people had lost hope in their God. They had started to have deep doubts and fears about the God whom they served. Their souls were parched. They were in need of refreshment and nourishment. They needed the rains to fall from God, the blessings of peace and of hope, and the promise of prosperity within their hearts and their lives. True enough, their crops were dying. But the people recognized that their souls were dying as well, and they needed to have the blessings of God upon them. That's the question that we ask this morning. In what ways are your souls parched and dry today? As you consider all of the events of the past week and days in your life, I wonder what conclusions you might make to answer that question. Lord, I need the rain. I need you to send the rain. Hear the word of hope. The word of hope is found in chapter 2 of Joel, verse 21. When God says to the prophet Joel, "O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before." There's one little phrase I want to focus on this morning for our message together. The hope, I believe, is found in the very simple phrase that God has sent the early rain for your vindication. It's a peculiar phrase. The early rain for vindication. You don't find that phrase anywhere else in the Bible, the phrase rain and the word rain and the word vindication in the same phrase. It's an interesting phrase, and Joel likes it. So what does it mean? And what is contained within it, the words of hope for us today? I want to divide it into two parts. First, the early rain, and then the phrase for your vindication. Early rain. You know, there were two important periods of rain in the agricultural life of the Israelites. In order for their crops to survive, in order for them to have a bountiful harvest, they needed to have a long sustained rain in the autumn, the early rain, and they needed to have a long sustained rain in the spring, the later rain. And it's not like it is here. They didn't plant in the spring and harvest in the fall. They planted in the autumn and they harvested in the spring. So they needed the early autumn rain in order to prepare the ground so that the ground was ready to receive those new plants, those new seeds, so that they would have a chance to have new life in that ground. And they needed to have the later rain, the spring rain, so that there would be sustained rain for those crops to mature so that they would have a bountiful harvest. The prophet Joel says that what God has provided you is the early rain, the autumn rain, to prepare you for something new, for some new blessing that is about to come into your life, for some new hope that is just around the corner. And God is providing you the early rain for the upcoming planting of new hope and new promise and new peace within your life. Joel says in chapter 2, verse 21, that God has provided you the early rain. But also the early rain for your vindication. Vindication is an interesting word. It can be translated in a number of ways in the Hebrew Scriptures. It could not only be translated vindication, but it also can be translated righteousness or justice or salvation. It's very clear that these rains that God is providing you are not just for your nourishment, not just for your sustenance, but also for your deliverance, for your salvation, so that you could have a way of escaping the darkness and the evil and the tragedy of this world. It is very tough indeed to take a look at the world that we live in and not know that there are many things that we need to be delivered from this morning. There's a lot of evil and darkness within the world and indeed within our lives. And God has a word for you this morning. The word is that there are rains that God is pouring down upon you. Rains that are early rains to help prepare you for new blessings and new promise within your life. And also these rains are rains of salvation and deliverance from all the things that affect you and ail you within your life. The early rains of your vindication. Perhaps this morning you are in a dry desert in need of these rains. Maybe your life is like the land, parched and spiritually dry. Maybe you have been embattled, fatigued, worn down by the weariness of your life, and you have tried with the best of your efforts to be like Mr. Espy and Mr. Dyrenforth, with fires and loud noises, to make it rain on your life, all to no avail. You need to know that God has provided you spiritual refreshment and rejuvenation, the early rains of your vindication, rains that are readying you for new life just ahead, and rains for your salvation. What does this have to do with Thanksgiving? Well, it has to do with Thanksgiving because on this secular holiday, we marked the first American Thanksgiving back in the 17th century. And as Phil mentioned in the children's sermon, the first Thanksgiving actually isn't the mythologized, fabled, wonderful feast that we think of. It actually happened 11 years earlier. Because when those first settlers came to this country, there was not a great and bountiful harvest. They had made it through a very difficult winter. The land had been poor. The weather had been destructive. There was no great harvest, no bounty, no great amount of food. The winter of 1610 at Jamestown had reduced a group of 409 settlers down to a mere 60. Not many reasons to be grateful on that day. And so with death all around them and the land dying everywhere, the survivors prayed for hope. They prayed for help. And their prayer was, I suspect, very similar to the prayer that the Israelites prayed. Lord, send us the rains. Send us the hope. Send us the help. And one day, unexpectedly, a ship came from the mother country, a ship filled with food and supplies from England. And then, as they received that very unexpected gift of help, they had a prayer meeting to give thanks to God. Probably the first mark of a Thanksgiving event in this country. Hear the words of Joel. Fear not, he says. Fear not, O land. Fear not, O animals. Fear not, O people, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. And I, the Lord your God, am your God, and there is no other. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain as before. This morning and throughout the Thanksgiving holidays, I urge you to be grateful. Not just for the things that you're normally grateful for your health, for your family, but also add something else this year. Be grateful for the rains. Be thankful for the spiritual rain that God has given you to build a new life for yourself where there is only destruction, to be saved from the evil around you and within you, for the autumn rains of deliverance. I want to close with a reading from the one who instituted the official secular day of Thanksgiving. Back in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued the official proclamation for the observance of Thanksgiving Day on the last Thursday of November. And this is what he said. It is the duty of nations, as well as of men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all of history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. And so it has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. And I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Signed, A. Lincoln, October 3rd, 1863. May you take time this week to observe the rains of nourishment, new life, and deliverance within your life, and may truly be grateful and thankful for the God who has provided them. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all, amen.